we played a caller crushing him on the air on Tuesday, and Ackerman heard the segment, I guess. And then he's calling me and texting
me.
Oh, you didn't hear the whole story.
What?
You only played half of it. It's leaving me voicemails. I mean, just leave me alone.
Hi, this is Rich Ackerman.
Do you understand we don't care?
We're Phi Beta Kappa in college football.
It was a funny 5 minutes of audio of a guy making fun of you who was funny. That was it. That's all it was to us.
You make fun of me.
We don't need the whole story.
I'm with Ack, man. I don't want to be the butt of your jokes anymore.
It wasn't my jokes.
It was.
It was the caller's jokes.
To it. I'm with you, Ack.
Oh,
I'll
stop.
Hold him down for you, Ack.
You are not with
he
Ack.
Should be
you
ostracized. You should never work the radio again.
You're Nima Tuololo.
He's so full of it.
I take that back.
Yeah. Nia and Nima Tuololo.
Nima Tuololo.
Nia Matalolo.
Yeah.
Nia Matulolo.
Yeah, say it like that. Nia Matulolo.
Will ya?
Ken, Nia Matulolo.
Colin Kaepernick, once again, the topic of discussion this morning because of news yesterday that the Baltimore Ravens put out in a statement saying that, no, we have not made a decision yet. And the report that is out there that says that Steve Bisciotti is providing resistance to Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh is false. He has not blocked anything. We just haven't made a decision yet on what is going on. So maybe this will be resolved before the end of the football season, or maybe not. And the Baltimore Ravens right now, if he doesn't get signed by the Ravens, I cannot see a scenario where he does end up getting signed. I mean, a team would have to be, they would have to lose every quarterback on their roster. Now think about the perfect, I mean, you could not have, you've got a coach who had his back before this situation was happening. You've got a general manager who wants him.
Yeah.
You've got a good organization, a winning organization in Baltimore who has had their fair share of issues themselves with high-profile players and Ray Rice and Ray Lewis. So they've seen it all. They've heard it all. If he doesn't end up in this situation when Flacco goes down with Ryan bleeping Mallett as their backup quarterback, then where is he going to play in the NFL?
And his offense, if you want to call it that, and I don't call it an offense, but for the purposes of conversation, his offense that he come close to those other guys you've mentioned who were on that team, who have brought prominence to this team as far as wins and Super Bowl trophies, but yet he's the one that's ostracized. It's just astounding to me that, and to Michael's point, and Michael, thank you for your service, that this is an affront to America, to patriotism, to the flag, no, to the military. No, it's not. And many folks in the military came out and said it wasn't. They were the ones that were snatching up his jersey, making it the number one sold jersey a season ago. We had my man Nate Boyer on the show, Hook'em Horns, former Green Beret, and the flack that he caught from other fellow military folks who saw this as an affront to them. I just don't get that. That is so weak. That's just a default setting that we go to. And let's go down the history and look at history and those black folks who fought and wore that uniform and fought for that flag. You say, Mike, and they came back and they were subjected to the back of the bus. They were subjected to going in the door behind the establishment. I mean, what were they fighting for? They were fighting for freedom for someone else and yet couldn't enjoy freedom right here at home. So I don't want to hear that. That's bull dookie. That's a default setting. It's an affront to our military. No, it's not. An affront to your military is to send people halfway around the damn world and then don't afford them the same freedoms that they're fighting for elsewhere.
George is in Milwaukee on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
Excuse me. What's up, George?
Hey, I was just, man, you hit right on what I was going to say. I was like, when it really come down to it, because you're right, you want people to go out here and stand for the flag and stand for your rights and for injustice. And Baltimore would be a perfect setting for him due to the fact all the racial divide and things that are going on. He'll be a great role model for the situation. And I'm looking at it, you know, when it comes down to it, man, you have these things, you know, where you want people to stand up for a flag. Like you said, you have this is the same flag where there were slaves, where there were people being hung and beat and mistreated. And then you want them to respect something in which when they came back to, they wasn't respected because of a color. Mm-hmm. And then you say it's the home of the brave and the land of the free. When it comes down to it, the owner is probably looking at it, you know, God, I had that Ray Rice issue, backlash, I dealt with it like that, too much media attention. Oh, my God, here come Colin Kaepernick. Same thing. I believe the owner don't have an issue with the man. Personal views.
Yeah.
He's looking at it strictly about, damn, all this national attention I got to deal with. And what if one day or one game he decides to kneel? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm going to be looking. I mean, I really believe he is business.
Right.
He's looking at his bottom line. Well, he don't care if that man kneeled or did what he did for whatever he was standing for. He's an intelligent man. All them owners is about the money.
Yeah.
They don't want anything that's going to disrupt the bottom line.
Of course, George, and we've mentioned that in good call, but what is going to happen? I keep bringing this up. You really think that the Baltimore Ravens stock is going to plummet because Colin Kaepernick is on the team? There will be no negative change at all. And it's monetarily, if someone can manipulate TV ratings and say, well, fewer people watch this game than that game, it has to be because of Colin Kaepernick. I'm telling you that I think TV ratings will go up. I think their jersey sales will go up. And I don't think that they're going to lose any sort of ticket sales. Because think about it. How many times have we seen, and I know there's people that are trying to say that Colin Kaepernick kneeling made NFL TV ratings go down last year, which is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard in my life. But you're telling me that when Colin Kaepernick, that first game that he's there, if he's on the sidelines with the Baltimore Ravens, that more people aren't going to be watching? Because the same argument of, well, Good Morning America is going to be there, and Inside Edition is going to be there, and Maury Povich is going to be there interviewing these guys.
He's not my baby.
Right. Well, all those people that are watching those stories are also going to then watch the game.
Of course they are, and I'm looking at the Ravens' current roster to see if there's a number 7 currently being used, and I can't find one. The sales of a number 7 jersey, if that's the number Kaepernick chooses to take again as he wore with San Francisco, and if he signed, of course, the sales will go through the roof. They will go through the roof. There will be those who are idiots who will buy it just to burn it, and there will be those who will buy it and proudly wear it. You're right. It's going to be a huge marketing coup for Steve Bisciotti and the Ravens.
Yeah, and Steve Bisciotti, there's nothing more the stance that I respect less than indecisiveness in important situations. When someone is hemming and hawing about what they're going to do in a critical situation, I think that this is somewhat critical in the Ravens' world. Clearly it is.
In terms of wins and losses, I believe it is. You know, if it's a life or death situation, yeah, eventually you got to make a decision, and you're holding other people's well-being in your hands as far as your decision. And this one, this is clear-cut, and you've had more than enough time to deliberate about this.
Yeah, and the fact that he is hiding, he's barely saying anything. There's statements that are being released through Ozzie Newsom.
All those prayers to come in.
It's just pathetic. It's just step up, go one way or another. Even if I disagree with your decision, just make it.
Right.
Lewis, which one in the Bay Area is on CBS Sports Radio? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. It's Lewis from the Bay Area.
All right.
I wanted to, you know, speak on this Kaepernick topic, and everybody knows he can play. He can make things happen. He has heart, and I think it's totally unfair how he's being treated, you know, and like, I don't know, man. Like, he has better quarterback ratings than a lot of these guys playing out there and still has no job. I think it's BS, you know, straight up.
Well, of course it is. You look at his QBR from last year, and it's better than a whole lot of quarterbacks. I think he's better than like 20 or 30 of the guys who are playing now. So get off of the stats and that he can't play and the read option is dead. Well, he's more than just a read option quarterback. And you surround it with talent. And I think it's safe to say Baltimore has just a bit more talent than that San Francisco roster a season ago. And then you have a truly be able to gauge how well he can play. But we saw him play pretty good on a horrible team.
Andrew in Texas, next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, man? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
man, hey, I'm just tired of all this, the owners, man. Sign the guy, man. You know, he's a good quarterback. He had 16 TDs last year, 4 interceptions. Why isn't this guy signed? It's crazy. And, you know, it's all about the mighty dollars. They signed him, they're going to get backlash. That's all this is all about, really.
Yeah. Well, take the heat, as Gio said, be a leader. Take the heat. If you think you're doing the right thing as an owner of a football team and this guy can help you win and your coach thinks he can help you win, your GM thinks he can help you win, well, you get their back and say, all right, we're going to sign him. And backlash be damned. Whatever happens as a result of signing him, we'll deal with it. But I think he can help us win currently, so we're bringing him in. And, you know, another thing is maybe he comes back and he outshines Joe Flacco. Well, if that happens, it happens. You want competition, right?
I mean, that's another one of these. The people that don't want to admit that there is an issue with Colin Kaepernick amongst owners, that they're afraid to bring him in because of what he did last year, that's another one of their excuses in their bag where, oh, well, they're afraid that he's going to make Joe Flacco. You're telling me there's a quarterback who's available that might be better than the one that you have who won you a Super Bowl, and you're not going to sign him because of that?
Now, that runs contrary to the other excuse. He can't play. He can't read defense. Which one is it?
Well,
either he can beat your starting quarterback or he's not worthy of being on the team because he can't play.
Well, that one's been debunked already, so now they're going to that because with Ryan Mallett being the guy who's getting the first team snaps right now, with Dan Orlovsky getting a job before Colin, you can't have that argument any longer. So now he's too good to be the backup quarterback, and they're afraid that Joe Flacco is going to be usurped as the starting quarterback. When in the history of anything has someone who could be better than the guy who has the current job is not hired because they're afraid that that person could be better?
Only in this situation.
Oh, come on. All right. So that is where we stand today with Colin Kaepernick. We'll see if a decision is made. And, of course, right here on CBS Sports Radio, when a decision is made, you will hear it live.
We'll be long gone, right?
Probably. Tom Herman is someone who doesn't like the media. It's been clear that he doesn't like the media, and he doesn't like stupid questions. We had an interview with him where we didn't ask him any stupid questions. He actually respected us because we asked him some thoughtful questions.
And you asked him about his reaction to reports and how he reacted when he was at Houston to a certain reporter by calling in and being irate with a certain reporter or a talk show host.
So they have a new media policy at Texas with Tom Herman as the head coach. So in so many words, they have decided to ban the writers who cover the team from using Twitter or any social media during post-practice interviews. So let's say
ban posting something until the interview is completely over or their secondary questions to the first question.
Yeah, which is really nitpicking. Yeah. I mean, and generally, college football players, you know, I know, having worked close to programs, they don't say a whole heck of a lot.
We look good.
You get like one or two here or there that'll say, like the one LSU play, I guarantee we're going to beat Alabama. You get one or two like that. But it really doesn't happen all that much. It's a lot of cliches. So this is the exact wording in their new media policy. Going forward, our policy for media attending post-practice availabilities will be that social media posts will not be permitted during those sessions. Any social media entry should come after the conclusion of all post-practice media interviews have concluded. Our hope is that you would take time to review your post and re-listen to the questions and answers in an effort to increase accuracy and ensure the necessary context in each of your social media reports.
I'm with you as far as the accuracy. Yes, you want there to be accurate reporting. But as far as detailing and dictating to reporters and media how they go about attaining that accuracy, that's where they're wrong. How do you know? Not every reporter is built the same, and I can hear an answer and I can get to the accuracy maybe sooner than someone else who may be multitasking. Who knows? But to tell me I have to wait to post my reaction to an answer, because you want everyone, you want to put everyone in the same box and make sure they're hearing the next question or the follow-up. I'm not going to do that.
How can you also tell a reporter what to do with his own Twitter account?
Yeah.
You're allowed to, you're going to rip away my credential because of what I do with my own Twitter account?
We got somebody monitoring that, boy. Don't mess with Texas.
Now, I think Tom Herman is a great coach, and I think he's going to have a ton of success there. But I also think that he still quite hasn't found himself when it comes to things like this.
Well, his guy is Mack Brown, and Mack Brown despised the media, and now he's part of it. And, might I add, does a damn good job of calling games. But he despised him. And I'm just reminded of so many different shots and jabs they took at the media. Even those who were working his TV show. Me! I mean, it's just amazing. And now the fact that he's part of it, ironic. But what Coach Herman is doing and what happened there at Houston, it smacks of everything that was occurring at the University of Texas during the Mack Brown regime, going after the media, going after newspaper, going after fans, and all this other stuff that you shouldn't be worried about. You should be concerned with the football team and shouldn't be worried about those whose job it is to report on you. Yeah, there's some out there who are jackasses that are looking for, who are all they're all about. All they're about is the gotcha question, and I get that. That's the media today. But this fight, you're not going to win it.
Right, and I will never understand. I will never understand why the coaches, they don't coach their players enough to deal with the media. They try to coach the media. You can't coach the media. What you need to do is you need to coach your players on how to deal with the media.
You don't need to coach them.
You need to make sure that they don't put themselves in a position where it's easier for those members that you talk about to prey on them. There are certain things.
Fine.
There's certain things that you can do.
Give them that.
There's certain things you can do to mentor them in those situations. If they're a high school kid who has never done an interview, there's things that you can do in that regard. But what coaches try to do is they think that the media also works for them because they cover that team. Well, mm-hmm. they don't.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and times have changed. So I know when I'm talking about my dealings with the media, whether it was high school and college and then in the NFL, it was totally different than all the different platforms we're dealing with now. And we were never told what to say. You go out and you don't deride another team or opponent or anything like that, but you say what's on your mind. You don't give away any trade secrets, but you were honest and you were open to a certain extent. And now, yes, there are certain parameters you like for the players to stay in. And a lot of programs don't even allow the freshmen to talk. Jalen Hurts at Alabama, not allowed to talk to the media at all last year to the end of the season, I believe. And it's the same in a lot of programs. So I think there's too much protectionism in this deal. And, yeah, certain things we want to stay away from, troops, but other than that, go at it.
Yeah, if you want to protect your program, do it from within your program. Don't try to go outside to do that. And quickly, here's another one of these paranoia works. It's the hours that suck, Brian Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Statements. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
It says, also, to follow up on a concern that came up during today's post-practice availability, please do not stand behind Coach Herman or the players during the media availabilities. The ropes are in place as a guide to avoid that and to allow the subject to address the group. To assist with you or your recording devices, we will add a table for you to place those on going forward.
So what are you doing back there?
Yeah.
Why do you have to stand behind me? It creeps me out.
Ridiculous.
Creeps me out, man. Get your ass in front so I can see you.
Oh, come on.
I want to see who's asking the question. Chip Brown, Kirk Bowles, get in front of me. What are you doing? Quit looking at my... Get in front of me.
Being worried about nothing right there.
Maybe they're in the mob or something. You know,
I don't believe they're in the mob. They probably just work for
Orange. Every time I go to a restaurant, I sit down and then my back's to the door. You got my back, right? That's what I ask
in case
whoever I'm with.
Gun is taped to the toilet somewhere.
Yeah, man.
You just never know.
Got my back. So right. I'm with that. I can't argue that, man.
Oh, stop it. Coming up next.
Don't mess with Texas.
A bogus update. and a couple of fights that we're going to talk about.
Well, one was a fight.
Yeah, the other was just a sucker punch.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about violence. Coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
And here's Andrew Bogish to tell you about Discover Card.
Discover Card alerts you if they find your social security number.
Bogish took his headphones off. Over? Yeah, it's over.
I know that feeling, B.
if they find a social,
he said what?
Seashells on the seashore with purports every.
I'm Foghorn Leghorn.
That is so mean. You guys are mean.
I'm Brad Heller.
that would have been great because it was your first one of the day. Yeah. Even though they introduced you by name, you still could have gotten away with it.
That is so mean,
man. Brad Heller. Brad Heller, who usually does those updates and then sometimes fills in here. I see him every single day at 9 o'clock. He comes down to our newsroom, where he doesn't need to be, to chat up DA. Loves Damon Amendola. That Brad Heller. Every day.
Every day.
Something every
going on.
Day.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Chatting him up.
Every day, something happening.
Well, and they've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
Like since college.
And?
But, no, that's my follow-up. If one of my Fordham friends worked here, and they might, and I don't know about it, I would not go see them
every
day.
Yeah. And it's right before DA goes on the air. There's no way that he wants to deal with that. Just from a talk show host standpoint, you're thinking about the show. He does a solo show. You want to talk to somebody every single day, 5 minutes before you go on the air? No. You're getting ready for the program. And they're not talking about the show. They're talking about, well, I heard him yesterday. Oh, did you hear from this guy from college or this guy texted us or whatever? It's like, man.
They're on a trip this weekend. Them and their buddies are in Saratoga.
Again? Just the other weekend they went somewhere together.
They went to a wedding.
They like each other's company.
It's wow.
Every day, too.
Like, I know.
Really bothers Pete.
At 9 o'clock every day.
Why does it bother you? You're in here.
Fogish is doing an update, and he's still talking to him.
They're good buddies, man.
I love this place. No, it's weird. No, it's weird.
It's
I'm sorry.
Weird.
It's weird. It's too much. It is way too much.
Well, say something.
I just did.
No, to Brad.
Yeah, no. What we did is we put it in your head. Now you'll say it, and we'll be off the hook. Yeah.
Hey, Brad. What you doing here, Brad Heller? Damn, Brad. Weird-ass Heller hanging around. You weren't out your welcome,
right,
dog.
Man.
Hey, Brad. Go away. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Like a bad cold, man. Won't go away.
I'm going to tell him. You think he'll be there today?
Will he be there today?
Are you listening?
I'm going to tell him.
Every day.
All right.
They're both off today. That's why I'm doing his job.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
I know you weren't. Mm. If you're fine, if they find your social security number.
Social security good number.
Yeah, kill yourself.
Social security good number.
They're traveling today.
Yes. Is that what you said? They're going to Saratoga today
as
we speak.
That's so cute.
Do you think that Brad knows DA's social security good number?
Yes. He knows all of his measurements.
You sure about that one?
That was on purpose.
All right. Transition into a sports update from there.
Oh, and a serious thing. Baltimore Ravens GM Ozzie Newsome issued a statement yesterday to deny an ESPN report that he and head coach John Harbaugh want Colin Kaepernick, but owner Steve Bisciotti does not. Newsome said no decision has been made yet and no directive has come from ownership. Steeler rookie running back James Conner has a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, but should only miss a few days of practice, while Dolphin running back Jay Ajayi is expected to miss a week because of a concussion suffered at training camp on Monday. And despite being carted off the field, apparently in tears, Giants wideout Sterling Shepard seems to have only suffered a rolled right ankle yesterday. Now, we joked about it at first, but now it's real. Aaron Judge, another victim of the home run derby curse. He's now in danger of being demoted to the minors by the Yankees. Judge won. No?
No.
Released? DFA'd? Placed on irrevocable waivers. Judge 1-for-4 in yesterday's 2-0 rain-soaked home loss to the Tigers. He's now 10-for-67 with 29 Ks since the break.
He's chasing every damn thing.
And Jonathan Williams just tweeted in, "Hi, I'm Andrew Bogish, and if Discover Card notices your sha-sha-shana-wana-na-na-na insert stroke symptoms."
If you're fine, they find your social security number.
Good number.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, Aaron Judge sucks at baseball.
I'm getting my pitch. I'm not capitalizing on it. And then when that happens, you get down 0-1, 0-2, and you start swinging it at their best pitch. Yep. So just got to make an adjustment and just get ready for my pitch and don't miss it.
You're over there nodding like he's Ted Williams breaking down hitting.
I'm breaking down his hitting, damn it.
He's right.
He's correct.
He can't hit, but he sounds smart. Yesterday's loss dropped the Yankees a full game behind the Red Sox in the AL East. The Cubs are the anti-Aaron Judge, surging out of the All-Star break, but they were cooled off for night by the Diamondbacks.
Swinging a ground ball to first. That's a fair ball down the right field line. It's going to score a couple. Give the Diamondbacks a lead. Lamb on his way to second. Peralta and Pollock has scored, and it's 2-0 D-backs.
That's Greg Schulte on Diamondbacks Radio. Third baseman Jake Lamb drove in all the runs in a 3-0 final at Wrigley. The Cubs now 14-4 since the break. The Rockies led 5-0, then lost to the Mets 10-5. The Marlins blanked the Nats 7-0, and the Dodgers lost in Atlanta 5-3 to end their 9-game winning streak. Back in the AL, the Orioles blanked the Royals 6-0. That's a 3-game sweep and a 5-game winning streak now for Baltimore. They're now 2.5 games behind KC for the second AL wild card. Michael Bisping says he will defend his middleweight belt against Jorge St. Pierre at UFC 217 in November at MSG. And Rory McIlroy confirmed yesterday he has dumped longtime caddy JP Fitzgerald. Rory tees off in just less than 2 hours in the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Boys.
All right, Bogus, thank you. Sam Miller is a junior forward for the Dayton Flyers men's basketball team. He is also now the subject of ridicule because of his awful behavior. So he was at a place called Caddy's Tap House in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Oh, Caddy's Tap House. So he was so drunk at Caddy's that he'd been cut off. And then when he got cut off, he got angry. And he knocked all the glasses off the bar and pushed the female bartender. Then security personnel threw him from the bar, and police were called when he pushed the security officer, had to be restrained. He resisted arrest when the cops showed up because he was violent with them. He kicked the car door. They threw him in a holding cell. In the holding cell, this is where things get even worse for him. In the holding cell.
Mm-hmm. He had to relieve himself.
So he did.
Yep.
And there was someone else.
Well, after he relieved himself, why not pull up your pants?
Huh? Well, that's
Why not? You're done? Is that what you're supposed to do?
It's an interesting observation. Mm. Yes, you're right. I hadn't thought about it.
Why leave your pants dangling around your ankles?
So he's not the only person in this holding cell.
No.
So he urinates on the floor. This guy's not happy about it. He verbally says, "I'm not happy about this." In so many words that there's pee on the floor.
Right.
And then Sam Miller goes up to the guy, slaps him in the face for chastising his behavior, and then this guy gets up and knocks him out. Clear knocks him out.
Yeah.
Punches him several times in the head and knocks him out.
And he was much shorter than Mr. Miller.
And good news for Sam Miller, all of it's on video.
Yeah. He was on one. I think it's safe to say you get upset because you're cut off, you shove the bartender, then you shove security detail, you're fighting being put in a squad car. You can't pull your pants up after you go to the restroom, and then your cellie kicks your ass.
Well,
what a night.
And this just in, the Baltimore Ravens have signed Sam Miller to a contract. They're not sure. They're still trying to figure out a position for him.
You'd make a good tight end. Tall, lanky.
Will Brinson joining us next.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We wait for the connection with Will Brinson. We're going to play you some audio from a Russian newscast where the anchor throws to a reporter. The reporter's doing a nice little story because they're all smiling.
Yeah.
Nice little story in front of a fountain. And then a big meanie comes up and punches the reporter square in the face. Now, this is in Russian, so you're not going to understand it unless you speak Russian or understand Russian.
I do now.
It is in vogue. But the sound, the voice that you hear that comes in, and the punch you can't necessarily hear, but the deep voice that you hear that's clearly not the reporter is the guy who punches him in the face, and he sounds like the scary cartoon character. Scary Russian cartoon characters. Let's listen to this.
Ну, действительно, отвечая на ваш вопрос, сразу скажу, никто, кроме них, так не отмечает свой праздник. Ну, действительно, они это элитные войска, ВДВ, их не зря так называют.
Первые в воздухе, первые... Заходим, блядь.
Помолчите, пожалуйста. Первые воздухи, первые...
You did hear the punch.
Ты будешь со мной, блядь, так разговаривать, блядь, сейчас без не получишь.
А у нас... какие-то проблемы, мы вернемся...
Проблем is right. Yeah, jeez, man. You could hear that punch, actually, now that I listened to it a little
closer. Stayed on her, man. Yeah. Easy on the eyes. But that you could tell which one was sober and which one was drunk, even though you didn't understand what the hell they were saying.
Oh, man.
You could easily discern that.
Mikey B, put that video up at Gio and Jones on Twitter so people can watch it. Will Brinson was listening to that on the line.
As punch him!
We were waiting for him. Will, good morning. What's happening, man?
What's up, guys? I have no idea what was happening, but it sounded...
Russian reporter got punched in the face is what happened. So,
nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, it was, at least he wasn't killed.
It was, certainly. We've seen that
thrown
before.
Thrown off a balcony or something. Yeah.
Right. So, Will, the latest on the Kaepernick-Raven situation is that Ozzie Newsome released that statement saying that Bisciotti has not blocked the signing of anybody. They haven't made a decision yet. What are your thoughts on where this is now and where it will end up?
I mean, the Ravens are treating this as poorly as humanly possible. I mean, this could not be more botched by Baltimore. And it reminds me, not in the sense of obviously what happened, but in the sense of just how the Ravens do not seem to understand the word optics. You know, they did the same thing with Ray Rice, right? It just every turn they seem to put the wrong foot forward or to somehow miss the giant pile of poo that was on the sidewalk and plant their foot right in the middle of it. And they're doing it with Kaepernick here too, because they didn't have to say, I mean, you know, once John Harbaugh mentioned Kaepernick in the context of the owners' meetings, and then once Joe Flacco got hurt, they were sort of in a weird spot. But then you don't have to tell everybody that you definitely don't have to tell the world you're checking with your fans and your primary sponsors about signing Kaepernick. And then you really don't have to tell everyone you're checking with Ray Lewis, just so Ray Lewis can spout off about it on Fox Sports 1 and then on Twitter. And then you really don't have to issue a statement denying that the owner has an impact on it, when clearly he does, because he just said he's checking with the fans and the sponsors, and he asked everybody to, quote, pray for us. I mean, it's a debacle.
Why couldn't he just get Ray to pray for him? I mean, why didn't he go to everybody else and ask them to pray? Do you have any insight into the other party that was interested in Kaepernick, but the owner nixed the idea?
You could hazard a guess pretty easily. I think the obvious answer, and I've been saying this for a while, is that the New York Jets are a team that could desperately use Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback who could start for them and play for them right now and improve their quarterback position over Josh McCown. But there is no way in my mind that Woody Johnson, the same man who had the vice president in his luxury box, last year during that Colts beatdown, and who's very close with the current administration, which is, you know, not politics aside, I mean, the current administration has just, you know, gone head to head publicly with Kaepernick.
Right.
And so I would be surprised if that was a situation where ownership was okay with it. And then, I mean, it's not hard to tie the dots to situations where teams need quarterbacks and owners might be, you know, against the idea of signing Kaepernick. But I think certainly the Jets stick out like a sore tanking thumb.
Now, Brian thinks they're going to go to the playoffs this year. So
what? You bastard!
I will bet you. I'm not going to bet my firstborn child on on that on like national radio about the Jets going to the playoffs, but I'll bet my second. unborn, not sure. We don't have a.
Oh, okay. When that baby pops out, it is mine.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet you my dog and I'll root for the Jets.
I hear you, man.
Gio and Jones and Will Brinson on CBS Sports Radio. Do you think Colin Kaepernick will ever play it down in the NFL again?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, I think if this Ravens situation, and this is where it gets interesting, where the rubber meets the road on winning versus, you know, fan perception and what people care about. I think if Joe Flacco were out for the season, and the Ravens were facing a situation where, I mean, look, like right now, if, like let's say the worst case scenario of this injury for Joe Flacco is he misses 3 weeks of the regular season, right? I mean, that would be very bad. The Ravens open up on the road against the Bengals, and then they have the Browns and Jaguars at home. I mean, this is the easy portion of their schedule. Maybe Ryan Mallett can get you through that, but if you start a full season with Ryan Mallett, you're John Harbaugh, there's a decent chance you're not going to – like, you need a waiver from Steve Biscotti saying you won't get fired because you're probably going to go 5-11 again. And, you know, if I were the Ravens and that was happening, I would absolutely go with Colin Kaepernick. And I think that at some point we will see a situation where a team is so desperate in need of a quarterback who can play that maybe they'll throw Kaepernick a – you know, hit the lifeline and call for Kaepernick. It, you know, might not be enough, but I mean, I just think there's going to be a situation like that opens up. But then again, one would think that given the, you know, what's happening here, that somebody would have reached out to him already. I assume that Kaepernick wants an opportunity to start as well.
Well, why wouldn't you? Who goes into a job or any you know industry saying I want to be second team? I just want to sit on the bench. But pay me like a starter. Speaking of a guy, go ahead.
No, sir. I was just going to say one other thing too. I think that's interesting with the Kaepernick stuff as it relates to like the Ravens and the Seahawks. A, Kaepernick was a big rival of Seahawks. I mean, obviously,
right?
You know? And B, I mean, he lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. If I were Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson, respectively, I would not want Kaepernick as the backup because. Right. If you struggle at all, people are going to call. Hey, let's see what Kaepernick can do. Just throw him in there. Come on.
Of course. It's like sitting there and you're on the team. You're sitting there watching the draft, and you're hoping they don't draft someone that plays your position. Yeah. It's the same situation. Speaking of quarterback that what not worth his salt, but I'm not going to begrudge the man getting $15 million, Mike Glennon. What's the word on him as training camp has commenced?
That's my boy, Mike Glennon. I think he'll be better than people expect. You know, I think the real word is what's the word on Mitchell Trubisky? Because the Bears are in a situation where, you know, clearly I don't think anybody expects them to be world beaters, and at some point they may hear some fan noise about seeing what Mitchell Trubisky can do if they're not winning games. But three fumbled snaps out of the gate, he hadn't taken a bunch of snaps under center. You know, he doesn't have that pro-level, pro-style experience necessarily coming from that spread offense that Larry Fedora runs. I don't think Trubisky has taken a snap under center since, like, sixth grade before this training camp. So you have to think that Mike Glennon, especially with Trubisky as the number three and Mark Sanchez as the backup, Glennon is full steam ahead as the starter. And I wouldn't expect anything. I don't really think training camp can change that. I think Glennon will look good in training camp. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been around the block a few times. He knows how to perform at this level. I think the real issue is it's not even going to come down to how does Mike look once the season starts. It's going to come down to what's the Bears' record? Because at some point, bad teams ultimately give their quarterbacks of the future a shot if they're not winning.
Gio and Jones and Will Brinson on CBS Sports Radio. The Steelers have a couple interesting stories going on. One is Martavis Bryant, who I thought would be practicing by now, but for some reason is not. Do you know what's going on there with him?
No, and interestingly, I don't think the Steelers do either. If you, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, mentioned on our new Pick 6 podcast, which people can subscribe to on iTunes, and Stitcher and all that stuff. And,
look at you.
And, yeah, well, I got to get a plug in.
Yeah, seamless plug, too. You're pretty good at that.
Yeah. Well, Jason had a great nugget. Because he was in Steelers camp. He said that he's talking to people, and they don't know what's going on with Martavis Bryant. The league basically came in and said, by the way, he's not fully reinstated, can't practice. And they're like, well, is there something we don't know about? Because if you're going to drop this hammer on us, you know, we'd like to know. We don't want to end up in a situation like last year where, you know, unexpectedly we get one of our top performers is suddenly missing. And I think, you know, between him and I assume Le'Veon Bell is the other name you had mentioned there, between those two guys, if you're Pittsburgh, you know, you're a little nervous right now because you have this defense that could take a step forward. You have Big Ben coming back. He's still talking about retirement, but, you know, should be up for a very good season. Antonio Brown, best wide receiver in the game, unless you want to nitpick about it. And then, but you remember, they lost in the AFC Championship game in large part because Le'Veon Bell wasn't healthy and Martavis Bryant wasn't there. Well, if Bell misses training camp, you at least have to sort of up the ante a bit for him potentially suffering an injury or at least be concerned about it. And then if you add in Martavis Bryant not being cleared by the league, I mean, that sounds suspiciously familiar to late last season. It's too early to panic or anything like that, but I think the little bit of spidey sense in terms of concern for the Steelers, especially on that Martavis Bryant front, because we all know how the league is wont to randomly mete out punishment to people it's decided to pick on.
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we have to have you on again soon. This is Will Brinson time, man. Get ready. There's going to be a lot of Gio and Jones requests.
Football starts tonight.
I know.
Anytime, guys.
Yeah, it's Hall of Fame game, which I ignore every year. It will happen again tonight. Will, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
Will Brinson, CBS NFL. What does it go better, Will, with your mic on? Or...
Bye, Will. Bye, Will. I'll see you, man. Great talking to you. Great interview.
Damn buttons.
Always getting in the way.
Always.
Those buttons. Yeah, so that was CBS Sports senior NFL writer.
Will Brinson. Thanks, Will.
Stop.
I wanted to talk to him more.
I did too.
He was late. And we had him in this 40 segment where this music starts.
We went to bed. We went to break.
I think you need to go to bed. It's what you need to do.
We went to break early the last segment just so we could talk to him, and then we can't talk to him. So bye.
It is Gio and Jones. In a half hour, Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us.
Oh!
How about that?
Hey, what's up, coach?
CBS Sports Radio.